Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts with me this morning. The book of Acts, chapter number 22, I believe. Acts chapter number 22. Never in my ministry have I looked at this verse of Scripture that I can remember. And usually when something sticks out at me like this, I'm able to recall it. There's a lot of things I don't recall, but normally I can recall things of this nature. And if you have time this afternoon, I'd like for you to read the entire 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. It's a wonderful testimony. The Apostle Paul is giving his testimony of how that he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And the change, the wonderful change that was evident in his life as a result of that meeting with Christ on the road to Damascus. But this morning being the day we would set aside to commemorate, remember, thank God for our veterans. Just last week began to get some thoughts on my heart concerning freedom. And as I did some research and looking and trying to find the mind of God, I came across a verse. And let's start with verse 25 in the book of Acts chapter 22. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" You're going to find that Paul is not only a Jew, but he is a Jew of Tarsus and a Roman citizen. The Bible said when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, notice this right here, this is where the message was birthed in my heart. He said, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was free born." Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. You know, there was a day in America, I think, when the enemies of America had a lot more respect for Americans than they do today. And evidently, this chief captain, when he found out that Paul was a Roman, it birthed a fear in his heart. He needed to be careful what he did with the Apostle Paul, what he did to the Apostle Paul because of his Roman citizenship. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty, therefore, wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed them from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before then. And then in chapter 23, Paul's going to go before the Sanhedrin. But I'd like to concentrate for just a little while this morning on this subject here in verse number 28. With a great sum obtained I this freedom. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your people that are gathered in your house. God, this morning I pray for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I do pray, Lord, for Brother Dan's sister, for Brother Dan's family. I do pray, God, today that, Lord, you would get honor, you would get glory. Father, I pray in this service, God, that you would help us to center our hearts and our minds for just a little while on this precious old book we call the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. several things to cover, so I want to get right into it and talk about the freedom that money can't buy. The freedom that money can't buy. This chief captain told the Apostle Paul with a great sum. And as I've studied, it was evident that if you had enough money, you could buy Roman citizenship. But I'll tell you something about America. There may be some that have bought their way in. Listen to me. But for the most part, beloved, we experience in America a freedom that money cannot buy. As a Christian, we experience freedom that money cannot buy. And I'd like to concentrate on those two things for just a little while. With a great sum obtained I this freedom, so it appears the freedom even of Rome might be purchased, and that it was sold at a very high price. Paul was born free. It's generally believed that the inhabitants of Tarsus, born in that city, had the same rights and privileges as Roman citizens, in consequence of a charter or a grant from Julius Caesar. But now listen, some dispute this. I'm giving you both sides of the coin. Because Tarsus was a free, not a colonial city. And some suppose that Paul's father might have been rewarded with the freedom of Rome for some military service that he provided to Rome. And that certainly would make sense, and that it was a consequence of this that Paul was born free. But that the city of Tarsus had such privileges appears extremely probable. And so Paul is enjoying a freedom that he was birthed into. I want to stop and say this. I want to thank my God that I was born in America. We take a lot for granted sometimes. Little place called Abingdon, Virginia, just up the road. Little hospital, the old one that was downtown, called Johnson Memorial Hospital. Mama had two kids in one. She had the oldest and the ugliest. Got that out of the way. It gets better from here. If you don't believe that, look right over there at my beautiful sister. Amen. It gets better from here. I want to thank my God that I was born in the United States of America. I just wanted to give you some things that I thought about this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I thank God, Brother Ralph, that I was born in a place where there's something called Christmas. My last memory way back yonder in my mind, I can remember well my Batman pajamas. That's exactly right. You talk about a hunk, buddy. I tell you, I look like a string bean in them pajamas. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Two things, age and Miss Eve. The best cook in the whole wide world, amen? I got over being string bean, amen? But I go back and I think about my childhood. I think about living in a country where you could have Christmas, where mom and dad could tell us about a Savior that was born, where you could go to church and learn about a Savior that come into this world, where you could celebrate, my friend, set a day aside and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and thank Him for coming into this world. That's America. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about that. We're in the process, and the men will get together and pastor, and we'll talk and we'll pray about it, and we got to make a decision about what to do about Christmas this year. Christmas falls on Sunday. Now, listen, I'll just go ahead and tell you, if the men let me be the pastor, and they will, I know they will, we're not canceling services, but we're going to try to make a wise decision, get our heads together and our hearts together as to what to do. Amen? That would be plumb foolish to cancel church as we celebrate Christ's birthday, wouldn't it? Amen. But you know, I got to thinking also about my childhood. I got to thinking about a baseball and a glove. Mama got me a glove. Honey, that thing looked like a bushel basket on that little hand. I thought I had to have a glove that was that long. That'd give me that much further I could reach and catch the ball. I had a glove where I put one finger out of the back of it. How many knows what I'm talking about? In America, a lot of countries can't have a glove like that. A lot of countries you can't play a game like that. A lot of countries you can't look up in the stands and see your mama sitting back there behind the backstop while you're on the mound pitching. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I thank God for America. I thank God, listen, that the freedom that I've enjoyed, beloved, is not freedom that you can buy with money, but it is freedom, beloved. Listen, there's been a high price paid for in this country that we live in. Think about that. We as a nation, we're forgetting the dedication of our veterans and the very high price that they've paid. We had veterans all over the auditorium this morning. I'll guarantee you, among those veterans, Brother Houston, you're one of them. All you can do sometimes is think about the ones that didn't come back. And think about, why, God, did you let me come back and you didn't let my buddy come back? Or several of my buddies come back. And you came back all in one piece. You came back, you still got all your arms and all your legs and all your toes and all your fingers. Many came back, beloved, listen, scarred for life. And some are scarred with scars that you can't see. They battle every day in their mind the vision of what they had to see, what they had to do as they fought for this great country of ours. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. We should never forget the price that's been paid that we can have this freedom in this country that we live in. Many are forgetting the dedication of our veterans. We as a nation, I believe, are forgetting that. We as a nation are forging the destruction of our values. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, we don't enjoy this freedom so we can do whatever we want. We should look at it like this. Go back and look at our founding fathers. Go back and study the documents. Go back and study the history. They didn't want to be free to do whatever they wanted. They wanted to be free to do whatever He wanted them to do. The Lord was to be in charge. Oh, beloved friend, there's a freedom that money can't buy in our country. The elections today are, for the most part, they're no longer issue-oriented. It's a popularity contest. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I tell you, the only hope for this nation is for a bunch of people to say up and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And I'll tell you what problem we're in. We've got people that'll put Republican or Democrat in front of being a child of God. And many people will vote their pocketbook. It's been going on for years. Instead of voting God's book. What's the best for my pocketbook? I tell you what's the best for my pocketbook might not be what's the best for Olivia. It might not be what's the best for Sawyer. It might not be best what's the best for my wife. My children, my grandchildren, God willing, soon there'll be another one. Little AK, Amelia Kate, due in March of next year. You say, what are you doing, preacher? In my heart and in my mind, I'm spoiling her already. I love my grandchildren. I'm concerned about our country. The direction our country's taken. I read this. I thought this would illustrate well. In 1883 in Allentown, New Jersey, a wooden Indian, the kind that was seen in front of a cigar store, was placed on the ballot for justice of the peace. The candidate was registered under the fictitious name of Abner Robbins. When the ballots were counted, Abner won over the incumbent, Sam Davis, by 7 votes. A similar thing happened in 1938. The Boston
the name Boston Curtis appeared on the ballot for Republican committeeman from Wilton, Washington. Actually, Boston Curtis was a mule. The town's mayor sponsored the animal to demonstrate that people know very little about the candidates. He proved his point. The mule won. All through my life, I've tried to emphasize the importance for a Christian to vote. But listen, you ought to know the issues before you vote. In America, this freedom has come at a great price. But brother, it was not money. This man here, this chief captain, he said, with a great sum obtained I. By the way, there's a lot of things being obtained in America with a great sum. But freedom is not one of them. As a matter of fact, great sums are causing us to lose many of our freedoms in this country that we live in. We need, beloved, to pray. There's a freedom that money cannot buy. These men that stood in front of us today, all I've seen, Brother Jim, where are you at? Are you back there in the back? Some of the men were able to stay. Some of them had to go for a funeral at 1 o'clock. They're burying one of their comrades at 1 o'clock. But from what I've been able to see, the veterans were treated like trash. And you look where that movement was birthed. You look in the hippie movement, the free love. Honey, there ain't nothing ever been free about sin. You mark that down right now. We're still paying the price for that generation. Said if it feels good, do it. Whatever happened, if it is good, do it. I believe with all of my heart, there's been a great price paid. We as a nation are not only forgetting the dedication of our veterans and we're forging the destruction of our values, but we as a nation are facing a departure from our victories. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There was a time when America was feared. There was a time when America was a country on the incline, not on the decline. You say, preacher, what are you talking about, economics? Let me say this. The economics will take care of themselves when the moral issues and the spiritual issues are dealt with. America's greatest problem is not economic, it's moral and it's spiritual. That's where our problem lies. Here's a prayer of Peter Marshall before the U.S. Senate. He said, Lord Jesus, Thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make all free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but to be lived. Boy, that's a great statement. Liberty is not only to be loved, but to be lived. That's a wonderful statement. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please to do what is right. What a prayer. God, give us somebody in the Senate, somebody in the House, somebody in the White House that could pray again and lift up their voice to heaven. The freedom that money can't buy in our country. Secondly, the freedom that money can't buy in Christ. This freedom comes only through salvation. The Bible said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, Paul said, I was born free, speaking of his country. But in that testimony in Acts chapter number 22, the emphasis. He made one little statement about his country, I was born free. But verse after verse after verse after verse talks about his new birth. Beloved, thank God for the freedom that we have in our country. But what ought to far more outweigh even that is the freedom that we have in Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. We're living in America. America's not running to him. America's running from him. This was speaking of a day when the Gentiles, the dogs, if you please, would turn to Jesus for forgiveness. Turn to Jesus for pardon. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. You say, what did Paul find on the road to Damascus? He found mercy. He found grace. Paul had been locking up the Christians, persecuting the Christians, killing the Christians, even stood and held the garments of those that stoned Stephen to death. But there was a great change took place that day when that great light, I believe it's important that the Bible said it was at noonday. Honey, there is a sun brighter than the sun. How many knows what I just said? Glory to God. There's a Savior that's brighter than the noonday sun. He shined round about Paul, caused him to see that he was walking in darkness, even though he was walking in the light of the sun that God hung in the atmosphere. He was walking in darkness. Thank God there was a light that shined. And the darkness comprehended it not. The Apostle Paul was born again, saved by the grace of God, experienced the freedom that Tarsus could not provide, that Rome could not provide. Beloved, this morning, if you're not saved, I say there is a freedom that America cannot provide. Your mama cannot provide it. Your daddy cannot provide it. Your priest or your pastor cannot provide it. Only Christ can provide this freedom. There's a freedom that money can't buy. Beloved, listen. I've been saying this for years in a little bit different form or fashion. Maybe use a different figure. But I believe with all my heart, if salvation costs $10,000, even if it costs $50,000, even, Brother Steve, if it costs $100,000, I believe there'd be more people saved in Kingsport than there are today. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, when I have Charity and Bob, they believe that you could get salvation for $50,000. I'll tell you what, there wouldn't be them little Mickey Mouses laying in the living room. By the way, they're not responsible for that. Papaw was down there in Myrtle Beach and he found that. Amen. It's actually not little and it's pretty good size. But if salvation cost $50,000, chance I wouldn't have wasted $20 on a Mickey Mouse. Amen, Brother Rick. I'd have took that home to Mom and Dad. said, put this on that baby's salvation. I want that baby to go to heaven with them all. I believe, Brother Ralph, we'd be eating a lot more peanut butter and crackers, because we'd rather eat peanut butter and crackers and pay on the children's salvation and pay on the grandchildren's salvation than we would to eat well and them miss heaven because they didn't have enough to buy the ticket. But it's without money. It's without price. Should we? This was supposed to come later at the end of the message, but I don't even know. But I know this. I know what the Lord's saying right now. We got some of these at home. God's simple plan of salvation. It's called a gospel tract. As far as I'm concerned, that's one of the best gospel tracts ever been printed on paper. My little granddaughter this morning, I said, honey, Papaw's got to tell you bye. She's home, and they've had some sickness this week, and little Sawyer's got an ear infection. Mom was up half the night with her last night, and I said, Papaw's leaving. I got to tell you bye, because I'm going to get in the truck right after church and leave, headed for Illinois. My little granddaughter, Brother Grizzle, little Olivia, took one of these and reached it up to me. She said, you want some Jesus? Glory to God, one of these days, Brother Joe, I'm just going to preach on you want some Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, Jesus, when you get him, you get mercy. When you get him, you get grace. When you get him, you get love. When you get him, you get a ticket to heaven. But when you get him, you don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for at Calvary. It's already been bought with precious blood. Freedom in our country has been bought with precious blood. The freedom in Christ has been bought with precious blood. The precious blood of the darling Son of God. Beloved friend, you know what God would say this morning to you that are lost? You want some Jesus? I guarantee you this day, if mommy and daddy stays in the right way and mama and papa stays in the right way, that baby ain't going to grow up thinking that $50,000 will buy her ticket to heaven. That baby will grow up knowing and understanding that we're sinners. He's the Savior. And the only hope of heaven is Jesus Christ the Lord. Somebody ought to write a song, Brother Kevin, entitled, You Want Some Jesus? She's not even 2 years old yet. I don't even know how she knew. I still got to talk to Mama about that. I don't know how she knew that this gospel tract talks about Jesus. But she knew. Papa is going to leave, going to Illinois, and he might need some Jesus. I'm taking it with me, brother, because I'm going to try to pass Jesus along as I go to Illinois. I might just take this and hold it out in front of somebody as God leads and say, you want some Jesus? You say, preacher, you're crazy. Leave me alone. I'm happy. This freedom that money can't buy in Christ, this freedom comes only through salvation. Secondly, this freedom corresponds with a strong stand. The Bible said, therefore, my brethren, the beloved and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Not only, beloved, It's at a strong stand, but God tells us where we can stand in the right place. He said, preacher, where's the right place to stand? In Christ. We can stand in the right place. We can stand with the right purpose. The Bible said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we got a hold of a tradition called marriage? So, preacher, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. This Bible teaches that marriage is between a man and a woman. That is for life. That's what this Bible teaches. Everything that God has that's good, the devil wants to mess it up. We need to stand with the right purpose. The Bible said we ought to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Then we ought to stand with the right people. This excited me this morning when I saw this. Look at Philippians chapter number 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I tell you, not only can we stand in the right place and stand with the right purpose, but I'm thankful to my God this morning. I'm standing with the right people. How many of you men that were in the armed services are glad that there was somebody like-minded, the same goal, the same country back home, the same flag, the same president? There may have been a lot of differences on the ship, a lot of differences in the foxhole, but I tell you, there was some things that you had in common. And in the church of Christ, there may be a lot of differences, but thank God for the cross. It brings us back to common ground. This freedom not only comes through salvation and corresponds with the strong stand, but this freedom considers strongly the second coming of our Lord. I'm done with this. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty, listen carefully, for a cloak of maliciousness. I'll tell you something right now. In the higher ups in our country, there's a lot of cloaks and there's a lot of maliciousness. And God said, that's not why He gave us freedom to use for a cloak of maliciousness. He said, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. That's God's way. That's God's will. Let me tell you something. I believe, not only does it go on in the country, but I believe it goes on in the church. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Pastors that get up and they live like and act like the congregation owes them something. That they're up here and y'all down there. God didn't set me free to be up here and y'all down there. God set me free so I could be a servant. You see, I was in bondage to sin. And I couldn't serve the Lord while I was in bondage to sin. He set me free. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, listen to 1 Corinthians 9:19. Paul said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. I don't want to get crossways with the Apostle Paul or with the Bible, but I know what he means. You could look at that and say, well, he made something of himself. I made myself. No, what he was just willing. And God made the, you say, preacher, you got no Bible for that. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He just gave me the Bible for that. Here's what he said. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was letting us know I'm not somebody, some self-made somebody. But thank God I'm a Savior-made somebody. A servant of the Most High God. Here in the Bible, this freedom that the Bible talks about is a freedom that money cannot buy. The Bible said these men come in here this morning in uniform. I thought they looked real good for a bunch of young men. But you know something? The Christian this morning is supposed to have a uniform. How many of y'all remember Andy Griffith and Ernest T. Bass? All he wanted was a uniform. He broke out a lot of windows trying to get it, didn't he? The Christian's supposed to have a uniform. This is what the Bible said. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Beloved, if ever there's a day when those that are in God's army are needed to take a stand, to put on the uniform, put on the whole armor of God. And in the evil day, beloved, I'll say this, we're living in an evil day. We're living in that day that Isaiah spoke of, when they shall call evil good and good evil. You say, preacher, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what I hope you'll do. Take a stand. Take a stand. Having done all, to stand. You say, well, I'm just one man. I guarantee you every one of these veterans could tell you stories. Some of them may be able to tell you that they got to come back because of one man that was willing to take a stand. One man taking a stand can make a huge difference in somebody's life. This morning, I just close with these words. How many's glad you got Jesus? And if you don't know the Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit would say to you this morning, you want some Jesus? You can't go to heaven without Him. I'll be honest with you this morning. If I understand the Bible, and I believe I do, Brother Rose, the sinner, can't even take a breath without Him. In Him we live. And we breathe, we move, and we breathe, and we have our very being. I believe the songwriter got it right when he said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. How we need Him. I pray that God will raise up in our hearts an appreciation for this freedom that we enjoy that cannot be bought. Someone said years ago, and I never have forgotten it, if you want to feel rich, start counting all the things that you have that money cannot buy. How many of you have a real friend in this world? How many's got several? You were telling me about Chris, brother, yesterday. Brother Randall, those that counted him a real friend, a dear friend that would be there come thick or come thin. Money can't buy that. Money can't buy friendship. Money can't buy fellowship. The only way we have fellowship, Brother Steve, is through the blood of Jesus. We don't have fellowship because of money. We have fellowship because of Jesus. Amen. The freedom. That man there in the book of Acts, he said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. I wonder how many people in the world, listen to them carefully, would give everything that they have just to be able to stand on American soil and be called a citizen of the United States of America. It's evident that even right now, for several years now, people have been pouring in out of Central America and out of Mexico. Listen, they didn't all get here, Brother Steve. Some of them died on the trip. Some of them were raped and murdered on the trip. But they would give anything just to have a shot at what we have in the United States of America. Listen, I'm not excusing, I'm not accusing. I'm just telling you, we take for granted the blessings that we have. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege. God, what a privilege it is. Lord, to be able to stand and preach the Word of God and not worry, Lord, about being found out by the government. Have the liberty to live our lives to the dictates of the Bible and our conscience and the Holy Spirit. God, today, it's a day we've set aside, Lord, to remember those that have paid the great cost. Lord, it wasn't money. It wasn't possessions. But Lord, many gave their very lives, and all were willing that we might have this freedom today. Dear Father, thank you for the freedom we have in our country. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we understand and realize it can't be purchased with money. But Lord, it's already been purchased with blood. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today unsaved, today might be the day they would say yes to the Master.